Welcome to Inside Jag Nation, a weekly podcast that gives you an in-depth look at the South Alabama Jaguars. You can find a new podcast uploaded weekly online at usajaguars.com or take the podcast with you on your smartphone by subscribing for free on iTunes. Just search South Alabama Jaguars.
Welcome to Inside Jag Nation, the weekly podcast of the University of South Alabama Department of Athletics. I'm Brian Freeman, Associate Athletic Director for Strategic Communications. And our guest this week is first-year cross-country and head coach, track and field assistant, Parker Cowles. Coach, appreciate your taking the time with us this week.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here.
You're in your first year, but it's not like you came over the summer. You came here right as the season was starting, and that timing, I think, is a little bit unusual. So, first, tell us what interested you in the job. Why are you happy to be here?
Yeah, I mean, the transition was a little bit difficult because of the timing. I will say this team has been extremely kind of open-minded, welcoming, and very adaptive, so that's been exciting to work with. I was excited about South just because it's Sun Belt Conference, and when you look into the school, there's a strong history. The facilities are great, and they've got a track record of supporting athletics and being competitive, especially in track and field and cross country. So that really drew me, and I became even more interested as I got to know Coach Bruschi in the interview process, and really sold me on where this program is heading and what kind of potential it has.
You know, other than the fact that you're coming in and now working with student athletes that you've not met, much less recruited. I mean, it's you're meeting each other blind as you head into the start of the season. Were there any other things you found to be difficult in getting in and getting going, or was that really the only hurdle you had to overcome, was getting to know your new student athletes and getting comfortable with each other?
That's definitely, I think, the hardest part. Is we had a short timeline. I come in with about 12 weeks before the conference championship, so we just had very little time to get to know each other and to gel as a team as we move forward. But I think there's just a bunch of little things. Learning the area, where workouts should be conducted in terms of running long runs, easy runs, and just getting familiar with the school and schedules and things like that. It takes a little bit of time. So there have been hiccups, but again, just the way this team responded to change has been exciting, and it's been a very easy transition.
Yeah, and I mean, do you feel like now, as we head into the cross-country championships, Sun Belt, which will be Saturday at Appalachian State, I mean, you feel like it's been a smooth process and you're happy with where you're at, or would you like a couple other quick steps to be taken as you go into postseason competition?
Yeah, we've got a very competitive team, but we're also very young. I really do think we're yet to have a meet with the men or the women where we've put everything together correctly. But I think if we do that, we've got some very, we're going to do something special at the conference championships. So we're working on making adjustments. We're working on executing, and that's just part of the learning process. A lot of that has to do with the transition, but it also is because we've got a lot of freshmen in our top seven who are getting used to college cross country.
So when you came in as the season was starting, how do you handle the practice plan because you guys don't compete very often, and I think anyone that runs long distance understands why you can't go out there and do it every week. But what did you find? Could you alter the practice plan that was in place, and did you do anything tweaking what you would consider preparation leading into competition in the days before?
Yeah, I'm not real familiar with the outline that was done before or what they were doing for their training, but I do know the athletes said it's been a little bit of a transition. We go on a two-week racing cycle for the most part, and in between that 2 weeks we're running hard twice, and then we've got some moderate workouts as well. But really, I think the big change is I've increased the volume a lot of these athletes have done in the past. So they're running a little bit more mileage. The long runs have gotten longer. Some of the guys are getting into the 15 or 16-mile range. And some of the hard workouts that we do have gotten a little harder. They're not used to doing 8 or 9 by 1,000 meter repeat or 5 or 6 by mile repeat hard. So that's been a little bit of a transition, but it's gone pretty well so far, and they've adjusted to the practices.
So as you get in here, your new face to student athletes, are new faces to you and to camp. A lot of them, as you said, you're so young, you got freshmen in the lineup. Not only are they adjusting to a new coach, they're adjusting to college life and campus and being somewhere different. What did you do to, for lack of a better word, immerse yourself in the program and get to know the student athletes quickly and have them get to know you and get comfortable with you real soon?
Yeah, the first thing I do, and it's something I do with every program I've worked with every year, but it goes a long way in terms of building relationships with the students, is we had individual meetings in the first week, so I took a half hour out of my schedule for every athlete in the program, and we met up one-on-one. We talked about challenges they've had this year. We've talked about goals that they have in the short term and long term, and I got to know them a little bit off the track as well, and I think that went a long way in terms of just getting to know them, building that relationship and that trust initially. So that, I think that was the big thing.
So the team competed in 3 meets in the regular season. You had the home meet, Azalea City Classic. Women won it, men were second. Then you go up to Louisville, and the men tie for first in the race, women are third. And then Alabama's Crimson Classic a couple weeks ago. Both teams were in the top 20. Different fields at each event, obviously. But as you look now at what's been completed, what stands out to you? What are you happiest about so far in the performance as you head into postseason action?
Yeah, I've been really happy with how both teams have executed race plans the last couple of weeks. We've got a young men's team, and that's key because transitioning from 5Ks in high school to 8,000-meter races in college, it's a big difference. And so the men have to take a step back and really execute and think about what they're doing in races, to be patient and to try to make strong moves at the 3 or 4 mile point. They've done that really well, and so it's always nerve-wracking to depend on men's freshmen when you're getting ready for a championship. But they've shown me that they can do it all year long. And so I've been really excited with the results at Louisville and the Crimson. On the women's side, they don't have to make the same kind of transition. We're still racing 5Ks like they did in high school a lot of times. But they're young, and I just think we've got a really talented group. We just haven't had that day where we have 5 or 6 ladies racing their best. 3 or 4 of them will usually have good days, and then we've had 1 or 2 on the offside. I'm excited now that we're pretty fresh and rested for what we can do this weekend.
Now, visiting this week with Parker Cowles, the head cross country coach for the Jaguars, also a track and field assistant in the spring. In his first season, Saturday, the Sun Belt Conference Championships will be in Boone, North Carolina. The women will race at 9, the men at 10. So a couple questions about that. First, because this is the first chance we've had to sit down with you, a football coach watches film. They have X's and O's. They got play. I mean, there's a game plan in place when they get to the stadium. You know, baseball coaches have scouting reports. They know how they want to pitch certain batters or position fielders. What does a cross-country coach do tactically to prepare for a race? Like, what do you do that's comparable, or is it just not the case? Is it so different in what you do that you can't really compare it to how other coaches prepare?
No, I mean, I don't have film to look at, but I definitely pore over results after meet weekends for every team in the Sun Belt Conference. And this year, we've also gone head-to-head with most of the conference. But I can say on the women's side, I think our primary competition is App State. We haven't seen them yet, but just looking over results, that's a team that doesn't necessarily have front runners, but they're very deep. It's a bunch of veterans, so we know that they're probably going to run well, especially on their home course. So we're trying to, you know, I've thought about how we're going to execute to try to get our ladies in front of them, especially at the front of the pack. And so a lot of it is just looking over results and seeing what adjustments we can make. There's not a whole lot in terms of film, but I can look and just kind of compare how teams have done against similar competition, as well as see where we've stacked up head-to-head, because we have seen most of the Sun Belt at Crimson or at Louisville.
You know, like, when it comes to planning for a race, is it more about trying to pick points, whether it's distances or if you've seen the course before, an area to say, plan on making a move here. I need you to run, you know, you're going to want to run harder at this point, put a little more effort or energy into certain segments of the race. Does that come into play for you as you head into a competition?
Boy, it depends. And this weekend we've got a men's and a women's team, and I've got very different plans. The men's team will be looking, you know, to try to make a move at the 3 mile point and again at the 4 mile point. As they get through the race, I want them to accelerate and become more aggressive. The ladies' team is more in a position where I want them to set themselves up to compete with App State. They should have contact with the front as a group. I want them to try to maintain the top five together in attack over the end of the race. So it's different plans, and it really just depends on the situation. But for the purposes of this race, that's what we're trying to do this weekend.
Have you talked about goals and your expectations with the team in terms of, is there a place in your mind you feel like you need to be at to be a successful competition, or is it more about if you perform well, wherever the chips fall, that you'll be comfortable with that?
Well, I mean, this is about competing. You know, there is, we look at it and it's a young team, but, you know, I don't want to be thinking about next year. We're here to compete this year. The men's team, I just want to see us compete well. We'll probably be ranked in the middle of the conference, and I want to see us move beyond that. We narrowly lost to Troy head-to-head this year. That's a team I'd like to try to clip this weekend. Now, on the women's side, we're one of the top teams in the conference. I've put some expectations on the ladies about competition and how we handle ourselves under a little bit of pressure. So I'm just looking to see how we handle that. I will say App State's probably the favorite just because they are veterans and it's their home course and they're very, very deep this year. But I want to see us go out and compete with the best.
You just mentioned you've got a veteran team on their home course. You know, when you look at it, are there any concerns running in Boone, North Carolina versus Louisville versus Tuscaloosa? I mean, how much does venue matter to you guys as you prepare for a race? And is there anywhere that you've been so far this fall that would compare to what they're about to be up against this weekend?
Yeah, Boone, North Carolina poses a unique challenge because it's at about 3,500 feet of altitude. So that'll be new for this team. Now, my experience as an athlete and a coach has largely been at altitude schools out west. So that's not new for me, but we do have to be a little bit different in our thinking and how we're going to execute this weekend. Even in the 5K, the altitude can really creep up on you and fatigue can set in. So what I've stressed with these guys is being patient, being deliberate early in the race, making attacks in the last third or the last mile or even the last kilometer as they get down to the finish. So that is a unique challenge. There'll be some hills, but we've run on hilly courses all year. I think the big thing I'm not necessarily worried about, but I've been thinking about, is altitude and how we're going to handle that, especially as a sea level program.
You know, you just brought it up. You've been several places on the other side of the Mississippi as part of your coaching career, but I kind of want to go back to the beginning because you were raised on Ramstein Air Force Base over in Germany. Talk about growing up in that environment and growing up overseas, and what was that like compared to what many of us feel like is a traditional experience as a kid?
Yeah, I had a lot of fun growing up in Germany. I moved a lot because my father was active duty Air Force during my childhood, and the opportunity to live in Germany just provided me with a very different outlook. I think how that kind of helps me, and I can relate today, is just I'm very willing to see the other side of things. I've got a good sense of empathy, and I can kind of put myself in other people's shoes. Just because I have seen a lot of different cultures and seen how different people operate in different parts of the world. And so growing up in Ramstein was a cool experience, and I think gave me a little bit of a global sense of just how people function.
So when did you start running, and do you remember why you started running?
Yeah, I started competing in track and field in fifth grade. I really got into running because I did a lot of club sports, club baseball and soccer. But running appealed to me right away because I had some success. What I always liked about it was there is a team aspect, especially in cross country, but I also liked that there was very much an individual performance factor. I didn't necessarily have to look to anybody else, and I could look back at the end of the race and say, well, I either had a good day or I didn't, and I could hold myself accountable. And I liked that about racing, that it was about me and about my competitors and what I could do. So that drew me to it early on. I also had some success moving into the high school level, so that kind of strengthened my passion for this sport. But, you know, it started early, and I've just grown to love it more with every passing year.
So, along your travels, when did you first come to the United States? When did, as you moved around, was there any one place you settled in longer than another? Was your dad on the move all the time that you were, like, every year or two somewhere different?
I moved pretty consistently every 3 or 4 years, but in the U.S., I've always identified with the West. I went to school in Colorado. I spent some time in Idaho when I was growing up, and I also began my coaching career in Idaho. So I've typically viewed myself as kind of a mountain boy out West, but I'm fairly comfortable in a lot of different areas, and I've learned to kind of like the South. Mobile has been very welcoming and warm, and the people here are awesome. So it's hard to say where I'm necessarily from, because it's just been all over.
Visiting this week on Inside Jag Nation with Parker Cowles, the South Alabama cross country head coach. Your path growing up was because your dad was in the Air Force. So when it came time to go to college, was there any doubt in your mind where you would go, or what you did go to Air Force? Let me preface that for our listeners. Was there any doubt that's where you would end up? Did you ever consider any other schools before you enrolled?
Yeah, I definitely looked at some other schools. I was a recruited athlete out of Ramstein. So I looked, Idaho was my state of residency. I looked at some schools in Idaho. But what really drew me to Air Force was I did initially want to have a career long-term in the Air Force, but the team was also really strong. I took a visit to the academy while I was in high school, and I clicked with the guys in that program. It was the right atmosphere. They were a dedicated, driven group, and I wanted to be a part of the success that they were having. So, it wasn't necessarily cut and dry for me, but I think by the middle of my senior year, it was very clear to me that I wanted to go to the Air Force Academy.
So for our listeners out there, I think you've got the perspective of a traditional student athlete from your coaching stops. Mm-hmm. You competed at a military academy. Compare your experience as a student athlete as what you think the individuals you're coaching now go through. Is it similar other than you have drills and other things, or was it a different experience because you were part of the military campus?
No, athletically, I think it is similar. It's a Division I experience. The service academies compete at a high level. I don't know that it's that different than what the athletes see here at South Alabama in terms of training and competition. What is a little bit different is just the academic and military environment of the service academies. There is a lot of extra things that we had to do in terms of just parades, drills, room inspections that maybe make life a little bit more stressful. But I don't think it was that different. It was very much it was a military school, but I had a regular student athlete experience at the Air Force Academy.
So you were You lettered in both cross country and track at Air Force. Had definite success. I mean, you were runner up at the Drake Relays during your career. Posted your career best time at the Mount Sac Relays. I know that's big because that's where we've always sent our best cross or our best distance runners in the spring, select individuals each year. You still compete?
I don't compete. I mean, I've been, it's, gosh, 10 years removed now almost from college competition. I tried to run a little bit post-collegiately, but without a whole lot of success. I was a good collegiate athlete, but I didn't necessarily have what it takes to be successful at the next level, either mentally or physically. But I had a lot of fun doing it, you know, and that's part of the reason why I got into coaching was just the experience I had as an athlete.
Well, that leads me right into my next question. I mean, you sort of answered the why you got into coaching, but when did you figure out you wanted to be a coach?
Yeah, as I was transitioning out of the Air Force Academy, or out of the Air Force, excuse me, I very much had to do some soul searching to find what I wanted to do. When I looked back on my college experience, I felt like I gained a lot from being an athlete, and I really didn't learn a whole lot about training theory or about coaching per se at the Air Force Academy, but I felt like as an individual I took a lot in terms of perseverance, dedication, and being part of something that was bigger than myself while I was running in college. And so I felt that for the, you know, for student athletes that have the talent and have the desire to compete at the Division I level, it's a great experience, and there's, I don't think, any better way to spend your time in college. I wanted to kind of give back and be a part of that system, so I gravitated towards college coaching. I got a GA position at Idaho State, and now 8 years later, I haven't looked back.
Was there anything that you did to get that position at Idaho State in terms of preparation as a coach or coming out of school and looking at a graduate assistant position? Was the fact that you had competed kind of enough to get your foot in the door to get into coaching?
Yeah, breaking into it, I think a lot of it was just I had athletic experience. It was a low-level, entry-level position, but I also got the opportunity at Idaho State just because of connections I had from Air Force. The head coach, who's kind of been my mentor, the head coach at Air Force, Ralph Lindemann, throughout my entire career, he's kind of guided me and advised me, and he set up the opportunity initially for me at Idaho State with the coaching staff there to kind of break my teeth and get into the sport.
So you, for our listeners, you received your degree in American history from Air Force 2009. You received your master's degree, sports administration leadership, from Idaho State in 11. So beyond Idaho State, you've had 2 years as an assistant coach at Barton Community College, and you've also been an assistant back at Air Force, and you were at UT Rio Grande Valley before you came here. For you, coaching, what was the biggest differences coaching at the community, junior college, community college level versus coaching at Division I?
So Barton was really my first opportunity to direct a program. Previously at Idaho State, I was working with long-distance runners, but I was the assistant cross-country coach, and so I had a lot of supervision. I got to Barton, and while I was an assistant coach there, I was directing the distance program. So that was really my chance to see what I could do. There's a lot of similarities, but coaching at the junior college level was a little bit different in that a lot of times you had to be, I guess, a little more on top of the athletes in terms of the academic and discipline sense. They needed a little bit more help and a little bit more monitoring. I definitely think at the Division I level, you can take a step back. There's a lot more support for the athletes at this level in terms of academics and outside help. So I can definitely focus a little bit more on coaching, development, and a little bit less on the academic aspect, which is nice.
So then it was during the 2015-16 year, you were assistant at Air Force, where you went to school. What's it like coaching at your alma mater?
Yeah, it was not what I expected. but it was a good experience. I was the second distance coach. I was working for Ryan Cole, who is still the head cross country coach at Air Force. He took me under his wing, and I learned a lot, just in terms of athlete development and also how to manage a high-level program. We had a lot of success when I was at Air Force. 3 conference championships on the men's side between cross country, indoor and outdoor, in a women's team that qualified for the national championship in cross country. So I got to see, I guess, how to get the job done at a very high level while at Air Force. And so it was a great experience. Going back there, I can say a lot's changed between when I was an athlete at Air Force and what they experience now. There's a lot of support there. The athletes have, I think, they recruited a higher level and have kind of taken a step beyond where I was at when I was an athlete there, for sure. But at the same time, it's still the Air Force Academy. They still have the same challenges that we faced when I was there, and a lot of the same things on their plate in terms of, you know, inspections and drill and things like that.
You know, last year before you came to South, your UT Rio Grande Valley, you know, what about that opportunity caught your eye that it could pull you? A lot of people feel so attached to where they went to school that figure that, you know, was there something special about that opportunity that kind of drew you away from the Air Force Academy?
Yeah, my move into Rio Grande Valley was an opportunity to be the head cross-country coach for a Division I program. So it was kind of exciting to get out on my own after taking what I had learned from Coach Cole and Coach Lindeman at Air Force, and direct the training of a distance program at the Division I level, as well as, you know, facilitate the direction of a team. So that was really my first opportunity to coach as a head coach at the Division I level. I was the assistant track coach under Xavier Richardson there. But I was running the long distance program at a high level, and so that was kind of exciting and what initially attracted me to UTRGV.
Now that you're here, not for this weekend necessarily, but in the next couple years, as you think about what you want to do with cross country and distance runners here at South, you know, what are your short-term goals for this program, and long-term, what are your coaching goals?
Short-term goals for this program, I'll kind of keep my hand close, I think, for this weekend, but we're looking to be competitive. I want to increase the number of regional qualifiers the distance program has and has had at the track and field outdoor championships, and I would like to see some distance runners make it to the next level, qualifying for indoor and outdoor championships. We have a little ways to go to meet that goal, but I think we have the talent in the freshman class to do that. We have to develop, but that's true with any athlete. It's such a high level that, you know, freshmen come in, no matter how good they are going to have to grow to be competitive in this level. And so we're working towards that. In terms of coaching goals, I was really excited to get the opportunity here at South and be a Division I coach in a conference like the Sun Belt is a great opportunity. Long term, I think I've got a long time till I'm ready for the responsibility, but I would like to be a head track and field coach, at a school like South one day.
The guest this week on Inside Jag Nation has been head cross country and assistant track coach Parker Cowles. We appreciate the time. We know you have a somewhat important meet to get ready for this weekend, but before we let you go, give our listeners a chance to get to know a little bit more about you away from the job, I've got some questions, and just first response that comes to mind. And I always like to start off with, in the limited opportunity as a coach that you would consider to be free time, what's your favorite thing to do?
My favorite thing to do, spend time with my kids and my wife right now.
What's your favorite sport outside of track?
Baseball. I'm a big Minnesota Twins fan.
Oh, bonus points with the boss down the hall. I like that play. What's the best athletic event you've ever attended as a fan?
Probably 2008 Olympic trials at Eugene, Oregon. I knew some athletes and some teammates competing there, so it was a lot of fun. And just the way Eugene puts on track meets at the University of Oregon, it can't be topped. It's a lot of fun.
One the athletic event at the top of your bucket list you've never been to but want to attend?
Probably an Olympic championship for track and field. I have not had that opportunity yet, but I'm hoping someday soon.
What's the best place you've ever been on vacation?
Oh, that's a hard question. I've been quite a few places. Munich, Germany, probably my favorite place in the world to go and visit.
Yeah, it's a trick question for you because now I got to differentiate between moving around growing up and an actual vacation. You have a chance to go to one place you've never been for a vacation. Where are you going?
Probably Chile in South America. I haven't spent really any time in South America, and I've always just been intrigued by the mountains and the culture down there.
What's your favorite movie?
Favorite movie? Probably Chariots of Fire. I think that's a generic answer, but I love that movie.
Favorite book?
Favorite book? I've got two. I think in the non-running vein, it would be The Jungle by Upton St. Clair. But I also love Bowerman and the Men of Oregon by Kenny Moore.
Favorite musical artist?
That's a harder question. Probably Blink-182, that just being a 90s guy. I like the punk rock from that era.
And when a Hollywood producer decides he's going to make the movie about Parker Callis' story, it's fascinating, growing up overseas, attending a military academy, and turning into a coach. What actor is going to play the starring role?
Oh, that's an easy one. Ryan Gosling. That's my favorite actor, yeah.
Parker Cowles, head cross-country assistant track and field coach at South, has been the guest this week on Inside YAG Nation. The cross-country teams, the women, will race 9 o'clock Saturday morning. The men follow at 10 in Boone, North Carolina at the Sunbelt Conference Championship. Good luck, not just this weekend, but the rest of the postseason. Look forward to working with you down the road.
Thank you. I had a lot of fun. I appreciate the time.
Inside YAG Nation is a production of South Alabama Athletics. Any rebroadcast or distribution of this podcast without the express written consent of South Alabama Athletics is strictly prohibited. Remember, you can find a new episode of Inside YAG Nation every week on usajaguars.com or have them automatically uploaded to your smartphone by subscribing for free on iTunes. Keep up to date with the Jags by following us on Twitter with @USAJaguarSports and @JagNationUSA. Thanks for listening, and go Jags! Wow!